Sounds of Ukraine. Let's go live to Joseph Lindsley. Joe, what are we listening to this morning?
Bob, good afternoon from Lviv. This is another Ukrainian Christmas song. It's so strange, I think, for the outside world maybe to see, but this month of January is when Ukrainians are celebrating Christmas, and that, if you were in Lviv, even I would say for a 24-hour period, you would be sure to hear that song, either in a cafe or on the street corners or in the squares. And it's the song means heaven and earth. And then that key refrain in the song is "Tut je," which means here now. And I think those words really have impact here. You know, everyone is still here and still going. But it's a sign, I think, really of Ukraine is pretty unique in the world. And even in Europe, in the sense that these rituals are very strong here, and you know, sort of contrary to the wisdom of the world, but to still be celebrating when the rest of the world has moved on. And you know, there's that concept of the January doldrums, but you know, before the war, that never existed here. It's such a festive season, and now, as we've talked about before, to have this music in this time and people singing together. It's very necessary. And even today, as we look at this moment, the entire country is under nationwide air alarm. It's President Zelensky's birthday, also my sister's, I think, January 25th. And so there is a sense that maybe, you know, something could happen here. And then we have at last the news, Germany and the United States say they will be forthcoming with tanks. So it's still very confusing as to when that might be. United States said perhaps as many as 30 Abrams tanks will come to Ukraine, but some reports say that could take a couple of years. So I don't really know what that means. And then in Germany, there was a big debate, but the chancellor in the end came down and said, okay, we'll get these tanks to Ukraine. Germany has been very wary because of its, you know, the Nazi history of sending weapons. And so I think that's been part of the reason why there's been reluctance. But also Germany has long had, you know, relied on Russian energy and other connections with Russia. But when Prime Minister Boris Johnson was here a couple of days, or former Prime Minister of the UK was here a couple of days ago, and he's such a celebrity here in Ukraine. Even when I went to get my new minutes on my phone, they give you a sticker of Boris Johnson. And so people were very happy that he was here. And when he returned home to London, he wrote an op-ed yesterday saying, you know, what are we waiting for? We need to get these tanks to Ukraine now. He said, where does the Western world need to station these tanks at the moment? Guarding North Rhine, Westphalia, protecting Tennessee, prowling the villages of Wiltshire? The same point could be made about every bit of conventional weaponry that could help Ukraine bring this agony to an end. So maybe we are seeing a new coalition of getting these offensive weapons to Ukraine.
You make some good points. You mentioned President Zelensky's birthday. I wonder if the corruption charges he was dealing with have put a damper on his celebration. Do you think all of that could impact the support for the war in some way, Joseph?
Well, I think there's a lot that will needs to be investigated here and a lot that will be revealed. And I was just remembering the words of a friend and a mentor of mine, the great British journalist Sir Harry Evans. They were just having some memorial event for him in London, led by his wife, the journalist Tina Brown. And Sir Harry, who he also had many difficulties with the Murdoch Empire, as did I. And he said, things are not always what they seem on the surface. Dig deeper, dig deeper, dig deeper. And I think that question applies both to this tank situation. You know, why as of 2 days ago, could you know, United States said, oh, Ukrainians can't handle these tanks. And then all of a sudden now they've changed. And it also applies to what's happening with the corruption situation here. Yesterday, President Zelensky forbade members of parliament, judges, law enforcement officers, and other officials from leaving the country. And it's very strange that this action is happening, you know, just about a week after that very strange helicopter crash that killed the three leading officers in the Ministry of Internal Affairs, including someone who was very close to Zelensky. It's just kind of curious, and I think we have to, as Sir Harry advised, dig deeper here. You know, throughout this, you know, going back to February, and especially in the summertime, Many foreign volunteers and Ukrainians came to me worried about sort of corruption, you know, like still Soviet elements in the military. You know, so the younger people are innovative and clean and honest and wanting to win, but still maybe they were resisting some, there was some of this sort of Soviet mentality in the bureaucracy and also in some of the military. And so I think that this battle has been going on behind the scenes. Even the defense minister, Reznikov, the Ukrainian parliament held him to account. They said, you were purchasing food at inflated prices. He said it was simply a mistake. So we see a lot of things moving around. And I think we also need, you know, the West likes to lecture Ukraine about the corruption. But I think we have to separate the people and the government. In 2014, when the people kicked out the pro-Putin regime, they began this project of cleaning up the corruption. That's why they elected President Zelensky an actor instead of an oligarch. And so I think we're going to see a lot more about this. It's hard to know. And people are debating this, you know, in Lviv and in Kyiv right now. What is that exactly going on? And even if you think back to that first week before the full scale invasion, there was the Sunday before February 24th. There was the largest ever amount of private jet traffic from Ukraine. And it was all these pro-Russian oligarchs escaping the country. But perhaps some of those elements are still within.
Very interesting. I'm told, Joseph, that you have been digging a little deeper into my roots there. We will get to that tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it, and I appreciate the research you've been doing on my family. So until tomorrow, peace.
Great. Until tomorrow, Bob. Thank you.